Oh, yeah, I'm going to come in early on this theme song this morning for the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN, out of Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years, and now 95.1, The One FM. And a beautiful sunny morning with a nice breeze. It's nice and warm. It's a great day to be alive. Almost every day is like that. Great to be alive. In studio, we've been building up for this all week long. We're going to have the man in here, and his name is Dave Vistendahl, or as I call him, Visti. Do most people call you Visti, Dave?
Just my old friends. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I like this song. So, we're going to talk about something that's going on in Faribault that you're connected with, and I don't totally understand ownership, management, and all of that, but there's a
we'll
place...
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So, I remember that you owned a building down in Faribault, kind of like Kitty Corner from the depot, and I don't know the name of 4th Street or whatever
yeah.
it is. Is
Fourth it 4th? 4th okay. Street, Highway 60.
Okay.
It's the main east-west road in Faribault.
Okay. Now, here's the deal. I remember when it was Anderson Antiques or something like that.
Peterson Art Furniture. Yep.
And I don't know if you remember it, but many years ago when you first had that place, you were showing me what you're doing, and it was just a bunch of junk in a building.
Yeah, it was a lot of junk
yeah.
in a building.
And, but,
architectural salvage and antiques, and that was a 20-year Saturday hobby. Never made any money at it, but it gave us, we wanted to be in the stream, like the West Bank Properties that houses the law firm and Froggy Bottoms. All the interior there basically came out of our architectural salvage collection. And then in, when I had my heart work done in 2015, I decided it was time to close. I was the youngest of the antique dealers. And so I came back and we had a meeting and I said, guys, I don't want to be dealing with all of your stuff. You don't want to be dealing with mine. Let's close it down. It took about a year and a half. All the antiques were gone, but we still got a lot of architectural salvage. And we're using that in the interior of 10,000 Drops Craft Distillery. It's my son Jake, his lifelong friends Pat Jacobs, they room together at St. Olaf, and Rob Kruchowski, who's the head distiller, and his wife Christy are all involved in the venture.
Now, we're all familiar with the fact that we have three distilleries within walking or driving. Well, you don't want to walk out to Dundas. Not distilleries, beer makers.
Right.
Then we have the one distillery called Loon's, and your place is alcohol, not beer.
Right, right. They're going to be making whiskey, rum, probably gin, and probably some brandy, too. They've got a big pot still made in Louisville, and the building is ideal for a distillery because it's five floors, 5,000 square feet per floor. And with whiskey and rum, you want temperature variations to get the liquor in and out of the oak, as it expands and contracts. So the higher floors are going to be perfect for whiskey and rum. The basement for brandy. Brandy apparently likes, a more stable temperature. So they're planning on, the guys went to a class on barreling in Louisville, and I rode shotgun. Moonshine University in Louisville is industry, it's put together by the industry and people in it for the industry. So they had people from Diageo's, one of the, the biggest liquor companies in the world there. They sent a bean counter. they sent an accountant to a barreling class, which made no sense. They should have sent a distiller, but, Anyway, they learned a lot, and I did the whiskey tours. I went on and visited the small distilleries. Now, a small distillery in Kentucky is one that has a build out of say 60 million. That's a small distillery.
You know, David, I was just thinking you enjoyed your 70th birthday recently.
Yep, yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yep.
Oh, mine was Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of great people born in May.
Amen. Gemini, I guess. Did you think in your lifetime that we would see what's going on in regards to beer makers and alcohol booze makers when we watched all those movies of the Al Capone days? And then, of course, Prohibition, I wasn't living then, but we all know about it. And then, of course, NASCAR, they learned to drive by running moonshine. And I never thought I'd see the day where they would say, okay, go ahead and legally brew something in a community and advertise it.
Well, I grew up, I think we were probably 13 or 14 when we made our first batches of, we started off with rhubarb wine, and my buddy Craig Larson, who shares the same birth date with me, I remember we had, I think, 3 gallons of rhubarb wine aging in his closet. We didn't know that you had to put, you know, like a balloon on top to allow for expansion. We screwed the caps on tight, and the jugs blew up. So Craig smelled like a wino for about 3 months until it...
How old were you?
14.
And now, whatever made you think about distilling your own moonshine, well, or wine, rhubarb wine?
Well, that was just, you know, fermenting wine. We tried rhubarb wine, elderberry wine. Well,
dandelion?
No.
Some people tried that.
We did try dandelion wine, and that did not turn out. That was really bad. Most of it was bad.
Now, was this in Brookings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my first taste of wine was at Grandma Rosenwald's house in Ortonville, and I think I must have been about 12 or 13. And they are good Germans, and I'd go up there and spend a week in the summer, and they were like, "Well, here we're having wine with dinner. Here, have some wine." And I thought, "Wow, yeah, that."
My first wine was as an altar boy, of course, and then Tempo wine is fine, drink it when you dine. And my grandma would allow us to have a little glass of it, and it was like drinking sugar.
Yes.
And it was good, you know. But by the way, before I forget, because I do that, the shirt. Where did you get the shirt?
It's a Scrubs, and it's a... covered with frogs, and I found a catalog, a Scrubs catalog, and I ordered, you know, a long sleeve and a short sleeve. This is when we owned and ran Froggy Bottoms, and I wore them down the frog and talked to Jake and the staff, and I said, "Hey, what do you think? How about Scrubs for the staff?" And they were like, "No."
No?
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't like them.
Oh. Well, you know, I got a gift one time of a necktie, and it had all of these frogs on it, and then it came with a thing that said, "This is going to help save the frogs," a part of the...
And then
they had pictures of the frogs and what they were, and then when you wore the tie, and people would say, "Oh," and then on the when you flipped it over, it said, "Saving frogs for the world," or whatever it was. So I had to ask, because you've got blue frogs, orange frogs, red frogs, green frogs, spotted frogs, striped frogs. You got it all right there.
But no Minnesota tree frogs on the shirt.
But did you know, those little teeny ones?
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
I got to talk about the QB right now, because Dale Finger, good friend of yours and a friend of mine, locally owned, locally managed. Many a high school kid got their very first job at the quarterback club, and we just want people to know that the quarterback club is a good place to go. Perhaps this weekend, you are going to be busy before the big barbecue. Stop in, pick up an order that you can pre-order, and stop in for breakfast or lunch. It's a great place. Like I say, support your local people. He supports a lot of young people and their baseball teams and all the other things that he does. It's fun to go in there and look at all the plaques in the booths, and you say, oh, my God, that was 35 years ago.
Yeah, and they've got, for a small restaurant, they've got a very broad menu. I mean, it's not just chicken and burgers and ribs. They've got, my summer favorite is their tuna salad sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
I eat that. I walk in and they just said the usual, and I nod.
Yep.
But that's my summer sandwich. I like it. It's light.
I go in and order a egg salad sandwich and another one. Maybe it's the tuna salad, and because one is not enough. Yeah. I mean, for me. But anyhow, support the QB. They take care of our community in many different ways. 13 minutes after 10 o'clock, Dave Vistendahl is my guest here today. We're going to be talking about the big deals that are going on in Faribault this weekend. And by the way, before I say anything, what are you doing tonight, folks? Have you got plans? Well, if you don't, here's an idea. Just because you're good listeners, I am going to give you free and absolutely no charge the big deal called the St. Paul Saints baseball team, and it is at the CHG Field, and I've got four tickets, and they always entertain you with other things during the baseball game, before the baseball game, after the baseball game. It's a family experience. I've got four tickets. A couple of couples go up and have a good time, or perhaps take the family. All you have to do is call KYMN Radio at 507-645-5695. You ever listen to the radio, a different station, and they say, give us a call to 645-5695. Okay.
Yeah.
507-645-5695, and just say, hey, I want those tickets Wayne's giving away. Okay, back to you, David. At 10:15 on 1080 Radio on this Friday morning, it is the 25th day of May in the year is 2018, and the whole story is about what's going on this weekend at 10,000 Drops at in Faribault. And for most people, I go to Faribault by way of County Road 20. And come in the back way, and the depot's right on the right.
Yep.
But if I turn on the street and didn't go into the depot, if I just went straight ahead, there you are.
Well,
you gonna have signs?
Well, it's all they have to do is just Google 28 Northeast 4th Street.
28,
or 10,000 Drops,
okay.
And it's on Google Maps now.
Okay,
and it's right next to F Town Brewery, and. The Faribault City Council approved our conditional use permit for a plaza. So we're building a plaza in between the two. And the plaza won't be done probably until sometime in June. But we're going to have a big outdoor plaza for music and entertainment and food trucks. And it's about 2,000 square feet, the plaza.
Can you smoke out there?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Going to have a fire pit and a stage for bands. It should be a real nice addition to downtown Faribault.
And you're in a nice location, too, because you won't be disturbing anybody with the outside music.
Oh, yeah. We're just north of the post office. We're right on the curve where Highway 60 turns from east-west and goes north-south to the viaduct.
Okay, now I'm confused, but I know where you are.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your lineup now, and then we can repeat it at the end of the show here. Dave Vistendahl is my guest on KYMN, the Wayne Eddy Affair. I've had a lot of fun this week talking to Daniel and talking to Lori, and you've got the lineup. Today's Friday. The weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Is that a good choice, do you think?
Well, it could have been better, but it started out as a joint opening party and my birthday. Well, the big the event center cocktail lounge is a big room. It's 2,500 square feet with a center atrium, so there's actually a balcony around it. And they're getting there, but the bar isn't done, and so they wouldn't have passed their final inspection. They're still waiting on labels for the liquor. They have to have all labels approved by the TTB.
TTB?
Yeah, that's, I don't know, something or other. Trade taxation and...
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be the ATF.
Okay.
Then they separated
it. Oh, yeah, ATF.
Yeah, they now turned it into more of a business... its whole purpose is to collect taxes.
Yeah. You know, I got your lawyer. Okay, so a guy goes down to the Muni, and he buys... I'll use simple numbers, okay? And he buys a $10 bottle of wine, okay? So now, when the Muni or Firehouse Liquor sell that, they have a almost 7% sales tax on it. But a third of that bottle probably is a tax unto itself. So what they're doing is they're charging 7% on $3 worth of taxes. Which is another 2.1 cent or whatever, just using round numbers. I thought it was illegal for the federal government or the state government to tax a tax.
Well, I don't think it's illegal. In fact, I think it's what built the country. You know, up until the time the income tax was created in, what, 1917 about? The U.S. government was largely funded by liquor and beer tax. So that's why pre-prohibition things were totally out of control, was because the government needed the money for funding. And I think that's how it got established, that we layered tax after tax, because the federal government was running on it. I think the state government added their taxes, and now... In Rice County, we even have a half cent going to the county.
To the county?
Yeah. On our
on not generally
on everything. Yeah, our sales tax in Rice County is 7.875%. And
I didn't know that.
Counties can add on a half cent sale or 0.05 to the sales tax.
0.50.
Yeah, 0.50.
Yeah.
For transportation. And
wow.
Rice County did that a number of years ago.
Wow, that went right by me.
Yeah. Well, I think most counties did it because to fund their roads and bridges.
Okay, so now that means that the proprietor of a business place, you're talking about everybody? Restaurants, clothing stores, jewelry stores, and all that? They have to now... account for their sales to the federal government, to the state government, and to the county government, and possibly the city government. That's a lot of paperwork. That's a lot of reporting.
It's all Minnesota Department of Revenue. They collect it all.
Giving away. Hey, somebody got the St. Paul Saints tickets. All right. Have fun. I know I go up there and have a lot of fun. Have you been to the new stadium down in Lower Town?
I've got to get up there because I've heard so many good things about
great
it.
Great tailgate parties.
We vowed we would make it this summer. Yeah.
I'm trying to get Mike Beck to be a guest of mine. I got a connection, but so far I haven't got it. So anyhow, the tax thing.
So for liquor, it's actually, I think, 9.5%. And I don't know where the extra... cent and a half goes, I assume, to the state.
So you send all of that money to one place, and then they dole it out to the counties and the city?
Yep.
Okay, so it isn't that much of a burden in regards to. Now, is there a way that a proprietor of a business can benefit, because you can't, you know, give somebody a half a penny change, okay? So they do the full penny. So is there a buildup of that half a penny for the proprietors?
I don't think anyone it's, you know, everything is done by computers now.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how the programs do that.
I suppose it's the cumulative sales for a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so that half cent wouldn't mean anything.
Right.
Except for the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my on my
mm-hmm.
business, non-law businesses, my I use Patty at Personal Touch Office Services, and she fills out the forms and online, the money comes automatically out of the account. There's no paper anymore. It's
okay.
all computerized. And
see, I got to say, do you remember Peter Schmitz?
Oh, yeah.
And he was president of the Minnesota Bar Association.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was, because I'll tell you why. I know that is because that is when they passed the law that attorneys could advertise. And that, of course, was beneficial to phone books, as you know.
Yep.
And one of the things I have to say is hand in hand, your association and my broadcasters association, as president, I met with, can't remember his name now, president of your association, and we lobbied heavily not to get sales tax on our service. And can you imagine to go to a lawyer and then at the end say it's going to be this much plus 7%?
Right.
I mean, that...
Yeah, that's come up regularly over the years, and of course the Minnesota Bar Association has paid lobbyists on staff. We lobby about not only matters that affect the profession, but about improving our legal framework in the state. And so far we've been able to keep that off. That would really drive up the costs of legal services.
Right. And I wasn't a registered lobbyist. We had one. But I represented our association, and it's one of the times I held hands with a lawyer. David Distendahl is my guest on KYMN Radio. He is going to tell us the lineup this weekend. It's a big celebration in Faribault for 10,000 drops. Great name. Got to figure out how that came about. But let's take this brief break, David, and we'll come back and you can let us know what's going on, all right?
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Start your Memorial Day celebration with a stop at TDF Liquor in Newmarket. Right now you can get up to $45 back from Coors or Coors Light. Buy 3 cases of beer, get $15 back. 6 cases, get $30. 9 cases, get $45 back. Bring something new to your celebration with Kinky Aloha. It's coconut, pineapple, and lime rum. Or try the all-new grapefruit tequila. Have a fun and safe Memorial weekend from TDF Liquor in Newmarket. The ones with the cool number, 952-461-BEER.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency would like to take this time to salute this year's graduating seniors. Craig hopes you find the future bright and exciting as you move into the next stage of your lives. Good luck, graduates, from the Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand.
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. A reminder, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, another great show on KYMN Radio, On Tap with Corey Butler and Ira Carlson. And they're going to have the gentleman from, or a couple of them, from Loon Liquors out in Industrial Park. And they're going to talk about their expansion. And Simeon and Mark are the owners. That's tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And an hour later than that, the whole show begins at 10,000 drops. Right, David?
Yep. Our first band tomorrow is The Layout. That's Lori Williams, Ray Coudray, and
yes,
the other guy. And I listened to a good part of Lori's interview on your show, so I'm really looking forward to hearing them.
Oh yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
Ray was on too.
Yep.
And I'm sorry we don't have the third party. We apologize for that. Is it Dan?
I think it's Dan.
Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at
Daniel.
And then at 2 o'clock, it's Long Time Gone, which is a bluegrass band, and I probably know, I don't have the full list of all the members, but I know Doc Hildebrandt, the fiddler from Faribault.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that.
And he's a guy that was with Will Healy and Craig Wozner and right. Over and Back Band.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drive South, a band that plays regularly in Northfields on at 4. And then at 6 is, this is what a lot of my friends are really excited about. It's Peter Diggins and Friends. And the Friends are Craig Wozner and Mike Legvold.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
A real power trio.
Yeah.
And when I caught them at the Cow, they did a lot of 70s rock. And Peter is he's a virtuoso. He's really good. And then Doc Hildebrandt comes back at 8 with Relativity. So there's a lot of good music. We had to set it up in our transitional warehouse, number 2, because it's the warehouse that's in between F-Town and 10,000 Drops. So you can still enter through 10,000 Drops or F-Town.
Is that indoors then?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it air-conditioned?
The warehouse isn't, but we're going to blow air in from the distillery, which is, and also from warehouse number 5, which is a giant limestone cave almost.
I think it'd be fun to go down there just to see the place.
Oh, yeah. It's the event center is really turning out. John Sheasley, a Carlton alum, is he's buying a lot of downtown Faribault, and he's a really fine cabinet maker and a woodworker. He does a lot of work on the East Coast.
A Carlton grad.
Yeah.
That's a blue-collar job.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but he's on a different level than most. I mean, he has his customers on the coast will fly him out. He told me about one where the guy just wanted a picture frame made, you know, and John said, sure, I can do it. It's probably $400 or $500, you know, out of rare wood. And the guy was like, no, I want you to come out and install the picture and hang it. And so John said, you know, the guy owned a company and it was for some company project. And John said, all right, I'm on the plane, flew out with it, did the whole thing, you know, spent 2 days in D.C. and flew back. And he said, well, small project becomes a big one, you know.
You might line me up with him. He sounds like he'd be an interesting guest.
Oh, yeah, he'd be. I will try it. If you can corner him,
yeah.
He's a, you know, he buys wood from around the globe. And
David, a thought just popped into my mind. We know each other for years. Why didn't we ever hang around together? I think we would have had a good time.
Well, actually, we kind of did during Jesse James days. And I remember I partied with you back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the JC's days. I wasn't even a JC, but they had quite a few parties.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but
good memories.
So anyway, Sheasley is donating this bar. He also designed and built the bar in F-Town. He gave that to them. Now, we're going to help him in his downtown Faribault projects. We're going to, in any way we can. I've got a lot of salvage left and, you know, doors, windows,
doorknobs.
Yeah,
I always remember doorknobs when I think of you.
Yeah, we still got buckets of them.
Why would he be collecting doorknobs? And then I have to say that I think of your former business when I watch American Pickers.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of like that. We had an active salvage company for about 3 years when they were tearing down a lot of schools and state buildings in Faribault. And I'd buy the salvage rights, and I had a crew that would go in and take out woodwork and all that stuff.
How does that work, buying the salvage rights?
Well, I wrote a contract and had insurance, and salvage rights don't get much for the institution.
Are there bidders that
only on Dow Hall? There was another guy that also bought salvage rights, and we kind of divided it up between us. There was so much. We probably only got maybe 5% of the salvage.
Is the end result that you have to clear out the place, or just take what you want?
Just take what we want.
And then the rest is...
Oh, yeah. I think they spent $1 million demolishing Dow Hall.
And so many people could use that today.
Oh, and it never should have been demolished. Yeah. It was classic state stupidity. I mean, it was. You know, they said, oh, my God, it cost us $500,000 to put in elevators and redo the copper roof. Well, it cost them $1 million to tear it down. And it was absolutely fireproof. It was designed by a famous Olaf Hansen, a famous deaf architect that was graduated from Gallaudet. And it was built the same year as Iterbo at St. Olaf. Well, Iterbo was a poorly planned barn cased in brick that never quite worked out. So Iterbo needed to go down. It was falling down. Dow Hall could have stood another 1,000 years. It was so well built, so well thought out. And they tore it down and built a nondescript, you know, one-floor building that will probably be bulldozed in another 20 years and replaced with something else.
You know, I mentioned things pop in my head, and I want to follow through on it. Where were you standing in regards to Old Main?
When
they were anticipating taking it down.
No, that was Iterbo. Old Main, St. Olaf never...
I thought there was a big...
No, that was Iterbo, the big red dorm in the center of campus. That's the one where there was litigation about it, and there were St. Olaf alums who were opposed to it, and they were well-meaning but totally misguided, because if they had seen what we saw in Iterbo in terms of the structure, I mean, it was deficient. In engineering,
I thought that there was going to be a big, huge makeover or tear down of Old Main, and then there was a lot of noise made about it, and they ultimately made it reasonable in regards to heating and cooling and all that.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was ever talk about Old Main going down. They they've discussed it with the other buildings, but St. Olaf's done a very good job of preserving and redoing the buildings that need to be done. Like, they just finished redoing Holland Hall for the second time. They redid it when I was at St. Olaf, and it was not a well thought out plan. It was in my mind, it was very poorly executed, because it lost a lot of the original character. And it wasn't that, I don't think it was that functional. Now, I haven't been in, I've heard good things about Holland now from the faculty who have offices there, and they're quite enthusiastic about the new restoration.
The band, we're going to get back to the band now at 1,000 Drops. I mentioned I was going to ask you, who came up with that name? 10,000 Drops, excuse me.
The guys did, Jake Robin. And Pat and Christy, they came up with. I said, well, what's going to be? Well, we think 10,000 drops, because of the old land of 10,000 lakes. I mean, that was on our license. Well, is it still on our plates?
Yes, I believe so.
Look out the window.
There.
It still is.
Yeah. Okay.
But it used to be at the top, in raised letters on the old plates. And it is just a great motto for Minnesota.
10,000 drops. Okay, we have the band at 8 o'clock. Now, is it similar to, Norm Butler's place, where they have somebody even come in, a different band, after 8 o'clock? I mean, or is the 8 o'clock band to 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock.
They might jam at the end. Oh. If there's anyone left standing, given the heat, I don't know.
Wow, that would be so cool if all of those performers jammed.
Well, I don't think we'll have all of them around, but those that do stay around, we hope they do.
Maybe somebody listening can bring their instrument.
Yeah.
Come on down and join in. I mean, musicians, when they jam, they pretty much have a lot of equity. And maybe an occasional egotistical person might want to demand the most attention and time. But when they jam, they all let each other show their ability.
Yep.
Which, I mean, you can see Craig doing the keyboard, and you can see Doc doing the fiddle, and you can see Lori doing the saxophone. It'd be so cool.
The best jam I ever saw was would have been the summer of 69. There was a British invasion tour. It was Led Zeppelin, Jethro Tull, and Savoy Brown at a club in Chicago called the Kinetic Playground. It was just an old Masonic hall that, you know, had no air conditioning, and I think you had to go up a flight of stairs to get there. And Savoy Brown somehow got lost between the airport and there, never showed up. So for the third set, the two bands jammed, and they started out, they decided they put away the electric guitars, they went acoustic. And the first thing they started off with was an Everly Brothers set.
Oh, wow. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You could sing along with those.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone could. And they said, this is what we grew up playing. And so they played all the music that they learned growing up. And it was just a great jam, to see the two bands.
The late 50s, early 60s, they were growing up, and Everly Brothers were right in there.
Yep.
I think of Kathy's Clown, because one of the girls that I dated that I, had a heartthrob for, however you say that, we were in the back of a convertible, and first date, and that song came on, and the guy driving up, my brother-in-law, turned it up. Don't want your love, and harmonized with each other.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
It's 20 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with Dave Vistendahl. We would like to say Visti, and we're going to continue our conversation about the big weekend at the 10,000 Drops in downtown Faribault, Minnesota.
Looking for casual dining and great homemade food this weekend? Take the short drive to Delicious to the Fireside Lounge and Supper Club in Denison. Along with a full menu, Friday dinner features include Fireside slow-cooked ribs and Friday fish fry. Saturday is prime rib night, and Sunday supper is always a great way to wind down after a busy weekend. Fireside's full bar, cocktails, and 10 local and regional tap beers will quench your thirst. Don't forget to finish off your meal with one of Michelle's homemade desserts. Fireside in Denison opens at 11 a.m. Friday and Saturday, and Sunday breakfast starts at 9 a.m. The Fireside Lounge and Supper Club in Denison.
This is a place known for being nice, but Minnesota Twins outfielder Byron Buxton is anything but that. Do you think he's trying to be nice when he taunts pitchers on the base path? Nah, the dude will straight up steal whenever he wants. He doesn't even try to be sneaky about it. He'll do it when everyone in the stadium expects it, just to show there's nothing anyone can do about it. This is not Minnesota nice. This is how we baseball. Get your tickets to see the Twins in action at twinsbaseball.com.
Andy's Auto Body, northwest of Northfield, is your complete collision and rust repair shop. Andy's Auto Body would like to salute the area graduates and wish them well in their future endeavors. For estimates and the most reasonable prices around, contact Andy at Andy's Auto Body, 10 miles west of Northfield.
Hey, congratulations to all the graduates from Northfield and Carlton and Sunday. I know that it's going to be the Ole graduation. That's always a lot of fun. They do that the Sunday before Memorial Day. Gives people traveling time. It's 18 minutes before 11 o'clock. Dave Vistendahl is my guest here. Are you retired as an attorney?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, although I go on kind of a part-time schedule this summer, because I spend about half the summer out in the Black Hills. I'm 2 weeks out, 2 weeks back. But, no, I like doing what I'm doing, and I still enjoy going to court and representing people, so it's...
Speaking of that, I know that during a time of my life where I needed good lawyers because of the infamous lawsuit that was a laugher and somebody trying to make money off of me, when one of the awards that was given, one of the awards that were one of, I guess you would use one of the awards was given to me by the jury, was denied in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And I know you wanted to represent me on that particular end of the venture, and I stuck with my lawyers, and the one that did most of the work was a rookie. He had never been to the Supreme Court. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know you wanted to do it, and the number that you gave me, five figures, right off the bat, I know I can't do that. I'll stick with my lawyers and let them overcharge me. And to this day, I wish you would have been there.
Well, and it was really bad law that was made on that case. It killed the tort of intentional infliction of mental distress, and that was kind of the I think there was an article in the Minnesota Bar Journal on that case, and that was the comment was, well, if you don't get intentional in your case, if that wasn't intentional infliction of mental distress, then there isn't any. And that's pretty much been it. I'm not aware of anyone recovering in front of a jury for intentional infliction of mental distress since then. It's something that another Supreme Court should look at again, because people come in and they, I want to sue for mental distress. Well, good luck, but it doesn't. I said it technically exists in Minnesota, but no one's ever been able to prove it.
Yep, and there were three decisions by the jury, and yep, one and several by the judge, but of the three, there was a monetary reward. And that's what we were going to the Supreme Court for, was to keep... And when I think back, how stupid, she didn't have anything, wasn't right, going to get anything anyhow. And Alan Page, I'll never forget Alan Page. I don't know if I told you this story. Alan Page commented after my attorney made his presentation, well, Mr. Eddy was breaking the law when he scalped those Viking tickets. What I did is I sold my Viking tickets on the radio to somebody, and the money went to a nonprofit charity. I had to make the check right out to the nonprofit charity. My tickets, I sold them, got $400 for them or whatever it was, and she reported that as scalping. And Ellen Page bought it. And, of course, now it's legal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But let's talk about what's happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Dave Vistendahl, I always like to talk to you about that case, because you kind of followed it.
Than followed it, yeah. So this weekend, it's they'll be giving tastings. I'm not sure what time the tastings will be at 10,000 Drops. They'll be able to taste spiced rum and... Their clear rum, and also the naked whiskey. They'll have tastings of those three things.
Did they put them in a drink, or do you drink them right out of a shot glass?
Oh no, it's just out of a little sipping glass for tasting.
A thimble size. Yeah,
I think they're half ounce, or basically they pour a half a shot, I think.
Okay.
But you'll learn about the process. It's made with local grains. We get our corn from Perfirst Farms in Faribault. And then we'll be having the music in the building that connects with F-Town. F-Town will be open. Chris Vogel, the brewer, has been making a lot of special batches of beer. In fact, he's bringing back Faribault Lager, one of my favorites. That's coming back, and that should be ready on Saturday. And we've got Uncle B's Last Chance Barbecue truck that'll be on site. So it should be fun, and I think people will get a kick out of it. Downtown Faribault is coming back. It's Faribault is a much larger downtown than ours. In 1910, which was kind of the end of the heyday of the classical architecture and construction in the state, Faribault was the fourth largest city in the state, and Northfield was just a small town of a few thousand people. And the business districts reflect it. I think Faribault has the largest intact historic district in the state, and they're really, as a city, focusing on bringing it back. The 310 Wedding Center or Event Center opened this summer downtown. That's been fully booked, and that's quite nice. That's kind of across the street from the Paradise.
What is it?
It's an event center.
Oh.
In the old Kresge's building, and it is really well done. I mean, it's I'm guessing it's 6,000 square feet, maybe 6,600 square feet, because a standard storefront's 22 feet, and it's three buildings wide.
Oh.
No interior walls, so it's one big ballroom.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's. Oh, no. They got the support posts there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. But that opened this summer. Sheasley hopefully will begin his reconstruction of about a block and a half in the near future. He's still working on design on that. But there's a lot going on. And Northfield, Faribault, and Owatonna are promoting this mini road trip. And I think it's a great way to get tourists to go south. And I've run into, I'm usually in Faribault on Saturdays, and I always stop in F-Town for a beer before I come home. And I've run into more people that were doing the mini road trip. And they were going to go from Faribault to Dundas to the Chapel Brewery there, and then hit one or both of the breweries in Northfield. And so I think working together, the three towns can really improve tourism. There's some other things we can do. We need to get a legacy grant to replace the dam with a canoe and kayak run in both Northfield and Faribault. If we had two kayak runs within 12 miles, people would paddle them both. And I think that's something we can work on with the cities. Owatonna replaced its dam.
Does Post now own the dam?
Yeah. Yeah. And for them, it'd be getting... they can't give it away. They'd still end up with title to it, but they can... by doing a recreational structure, they can get rid of the liability. Under Minnesota law, it becomes... they have to work out an agreement with probably the city or county, and then it becomes they would become immune from suit if someone is injured on it. As it stands, a dam owner is strictly liable for the damage caused by it, whether it's by the dam breaking, a release, or a canoe of full of young kids going over it and getting caught in the tumbling action and beaten to a pulp. So,
well, what would happen if they removed that dam?
Well, they can't remove it because they're afraid of subsistence. The buildings along the dam have a higher... The ground, the hydrostatic pressure... created by the dam, actually supports buildings. The original Maltomeal mill, that's on bedrock. We discovered our building is about a half a foot off bedrock, but I think it's pretty much on gravel, so it's not likely to subsist. But things like the River Park Mall and the building at Fifth and Water, that would probably subsist. That would probably.
What do you mean subsist?
Sink.
Okay.
It would sink if the water went out of the ground. So, what the DNR will allow is the they could drop the level as much as a foot. This is what I learned from going to seminars on it. But really what they should do is just keep the water level and use it to build a canoe and kayak run.
So the dam would still be there?
No. They build a new structure upriver, and then when it was done, take the dam up.
What's upriver on a river that runs north?
Well, it's upstream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Upstream. There you go.
Yeah, closer to the Fifth Street Bridge,
right.
I think.
Okay.
And that's where we've got the landing. We've already done some improvements that would fit in there.
So, but somebody would have to open up a granola bar?
Well,
you know, kayakers. And,
yeah.
You know, health
yeah.
food. And,
right.
It was pretty funny, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, post-granola.
We're going to take a final break, and then when we come back, let's do a final rundown on the weekend at 10,000 drops.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back with Dave Vistendahl, and we call him Visti.
Spring is here, and you can feel the freshness in the air. And thanks to the Ole Store restaurant, you can taste the freshness for lunch today. Chef Oliver has released the seasonal menu, which impresses with locally sourced tastes of the season. Start the season off with a summer corn bruschetta. Taste the brightness of summer with a strawberry fig salad. And complete your meal with truly inspired sandwiches, like the turkey caprese panini or lunch-sized portions of the Ole Store's most popular entrees. The Ole Store restaurant in Northfield. Make lunch an occasion today.
Have you ever thought, an adjustable mattress would be great, but why would I spend the money when my old mattress works perfectly fine? Well, America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas has an opportunity for you to start sleeping better than fine. Stop in this Memorial Day weekend and save up to $800 on Serta iComfort adjustable mattress sets, along with great savings on traditional mattress sets and 60-month interest-free financing. Come check out savings without high-pressure sales. America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas. See how relaxing furniture shopping can be.
We're back at 6 minutes before 11 o'clock on this beautiful Thursday morning. It is May 25th. And the year is 2018, and who knows, maybe somebody will be listening to this many years down the road. We do archive as well as we do stream. You can hear Dave Vistendahl anywhere in the world with a smartphone or a computer, except maybe some places in China that you've been to. So let's do a wrap on what's coming up this weekend at your place or your son's place and his partner's in Faribault.
Well, Wayne, my contribution was building a pop-up pub. We did it. We wanted to host the Faribault Flannel Formal, which is a Faribault chamber event, and the cocktail room wasn't done. So about 3 weeks before it, we met with the chamber, and they said, well, what about this connecting warehouse here? It's where product comes in and goes out for both the brewery and the distillery. And we said, well, yeah, maybe we can put something together. But Norman Butler at the Contented Cow was getting rid of some of the booths that we helped him salvage from a place called Wrenchen's Pub in Meriden down near Owatonna. He was going to toss those out, so we just hauled them, threw them in a pickup, took them down, unloaded them, and attached them to the walls of the bathrooms that are built in Building 2. And so we created a pop-up pub. And one of the things that I got, we've upgraded it now for this event. I now have a formal bar. It's the Dead Man's Bar. It's an oak printer's case that came out of one of the state buildings up there, probably from the 1880s. Beautiful oak thing. And on top of it is the original morgue slab from the state hospital, you know, the embalming slab. And so, you know, if I can find a cantilily, why people can have their picture taken lying on the slab holding a lily in their hands. But it's a great bar, and I'm quite proud of what we...
Well, I'm trying to figure out the distiller and the brewer.
Yeah.
And then a warehouse in between.
Yeah.
Now, whose is that?
Well, that's mine.
Oh, do they rent space in from you?
And the brewery rents space and the distillery rents space.
Okay.
So my party is in my part of the building.
Oh, okay. You make me want to go down there.
Yeah.
And so they get along. Is it idyllic that you have a brewery and a distillery next door to each other?
Oh, yeah. It's great because, there's not everyone drinks beer or not everyone drinks cocktails. So it's going to allow everyone to be happy, usually in a traveling group.
Do you have to be separate, though? I mean, a brewery can only serve brew and a distillery only can serve distillery.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they crisscross each other.
Yeah, they
I get it.
Yeah, they
motorcycles. Big great pace for a motorcycle rally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we've got the parking for it. There's over 300 parking places in the surrounding blocks.
By the American League.
Legion? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's all kinds of parking by the Legion. We've got a gravel lot in the north third of our block. There's city parking down along the river, north of the depot, and then Central Avenue usually.
So where are you going from here, you personally, today?
I got to check in at the law office, and I got to go down and set up for the party.
Okay, I'm thinking of taking a cruise down there, maybe on my motorcycle, and look at what you're talking about if I don't get a chance to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which I won't because my wife and I are going to probably take a out-of-town trip. So, you got entertainment starting at noon.
Yep.
Two.
Four. Six and eight.
Six and eight.
Yeah.
And then maybe a jam session afterwards.
Right.
And totally wonderful, different bands, local people from Northfield, Faribault. It's going to be busy no matter what time you go there tomorrow from noon until closing. There'll be something going on.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's the buildings are worth seeing. I mean, there isn't anything like it in Northfield. These are big buildings, post and beam, multi-stories, built between, like the brewery, that building was probably built in the 1880s. The distillery was built in 1910.
Wow. Should be a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. You feel comfortable promoting that as opposed to the Froggy Bottoms? I mean, you're still involved with Froggy Bottoms at all?
Well, I still own it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I own the building. Froggy's is a tenant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is quite a deal with that. I just, every time I go there, I think about the water.
Oh, we've got flood defenses now. And we've got a flood wall.
Did they still wear the T-shirts to show where the water was up to?
Yeah.
That was a great idea.
Yeah, that was Lori's idea.
I bet you people would say, I can't believe that,
yeah.
When they look at it. All right. Well, David, I want to say thank you very much for coming in here on this beautiful Friday morning. And hopefully things are going to go really good for you. And you'll have a great time tomorrow at a place called
10,000. 10,